Let's just pray for a moment before I begin. Lord God, thank you that you do speak to us. Thank you that you can direct us in our lives. And I pray that you would speak to us right now and help us to listen. Amen. So, we've done the whole book of Jonah. Congratulations, this morning you have covered a whole book of the Bible. It's not often you can say that in one service, but there was a part of it meant to be today, and do you know what? Jonah's such a small book, and it's such a big story, it made sense to do all of it. So today, we are going to look at the whole of Jonah and see all the different things that we can respond to. I'm going to pick out three things that I think are really important themes and things that we can think about as we respond. Now, in an all-age service like this, what we normally do is there'll be a little bit of input from the front, and then the rest is us engaging with each other and in practical ways to think about the story. So we're going to engage with Jonah in three different ways, and you can choose which way to respond, what is speaking to you most today. Firstly, the part of the story that Barbara specifically read to us, that chapter 3, we heard about Nineveh's surprising reaction to Jonah's words, like immediate reaction to what Jonah said. And their immediate response was in a big show of action. They weren't just sorry and just said, oh God, we're sorry. They showed it with everything they did. They put on sackcloth and they covered themselves in ashes and they fasted. And I don't know if you noticed, but the animals were included in this as well. The humans and the animals had to fast, and the humans and the animals had to wear sackcloth. I don't know if you imagine a whole load of cows and sheep in sackcloth, but it always makes me smile. I bought an actual sack. I mean, I'm pretty certain they didn't wear this kind of sackcloth, but it was kind of like really itchy goat's hair that they covered themselves in, and it was an outward sign of an inward feeling. So they inwardly were sorry, and what they wanted to show that they were really sorry. So one of the ways that you can respond to this story is you can come here and feel this sackcloth, feel what it would be like to wear this, not just over your clothes, but just to wear this, have this on your skin. I'm just holding it, it's not very nice. But also what you might like to do is cover some animals in sackcloth. So what I have here is, I know Nineveh was, where did I put my seahorse? Oh, he's down here. Brilliant. Nineveh was by the sea, I think, because Jonah was... So I've got a seahorse here. And you might like to make him a sackcloth coat to wear. So we've got paper bags. And you can make yourself a sackcloth for your animals. We've got a whole load of animals down here. Let's just make this seahorse really repentant and really sorry. Okay? There we are. We have a seahorse in sackcloth. This is a really silly example. But actually, what is quite important is to remember that when we say sorry, it's important that our actions also match what we're saying when we say sorry. So as you make some sackcloth animals and you have a giggle about covering them in sackcloth, think about what we could do when we say sorry, either to God or to each other. How can we also act sorry so that it's not just our words? Okay, so that's one way that you can respond in a moment. Laura, I'm just going to chuck the seahorse at you. Thank you. Brilliant. That's thinking about Nineveh and how they said sorry and how we can act sorry. Now, secondly, I don't know if you noticed, we're going back to the video now. This is not what we heard read, but in the video. It's how we respond when we've got ourselves into a bit of a pit in life. When we've got ourselves into a bit of difficulty, a bit of trouble, maybe we've made some bad choices. Maybe things have happened to us and we've got ourselves in a bit of a pit. How do we react then? What do we do? Do we keep digging? Do we keep making it worse? Or do we change what we're doing? So Nineveh, obviously, all the people in Nineveh, they heard what they were doing wrong and they reacted, as we've just heard, sackcloth, ashes, and they repented. They said sorry. Jonah got himself in a bit of a pit. He was in the middle of a storm, in fact. He'd got himself into really deep trouble. And how did he react? He owned up to it, which is interesting. He owned up to it, and then he got himself thrown into the sea. So he was in an even bigger pit, really, to imagine. But he was sorry. He had realized he'd done something wrong, and he was trying to change. Now, what I find really interesting about that is that God held him in his saying sorry. God didn't immediately rescue Jonah and stop the storm with Jonah still on the boat. And God didn't let Jonah sink to the bottom of the ocean either. But God kind of held Jonah in this moment of changing in the fish. He held him in the belly of a fish. But he took that 3 days of holding Jonah in that moment of Jonah realizing what he'd done wrong, realizing he got himself into a bit of a state and needed to change something. And God held him in that moment. Now, it wasn't comfortable. I can't even imagine being stuck inside the belly of a fish. But it was not the ocean. He wasn't drowning. He was being held. We often talk about God holding us through life. And I had a bit of an epiphany moment a few years ago when I was thinking about this being held. And I was like, it really, in my head, when we talk about God holding us in life, it's like these big loving arms around us, keeping us safe, or holding us like a baby and feeling really held by God. And it can feel like that. But sometimes it doesn't feel like that. But I was like, realized, do you know what? When a firefighter rescue someone from a burning building, they don't pick them up gently and hold them like a baby. They chuck them over their shoulder and they carry them out. They rescue them. They are holding them and they are rescuing them. But goodness, that's not comfortable, is it? Being chucked over someone's shoulder is not a comfortable way to be held, but it is a saving way to be held. And so I had this understanding that actually, sometimes when God is holding us, it cannot necessarily feel comfortable at the time. Being in that belly of a fish was not comfortable for Jonah. Being carried in a fireman's lift is not comfortable, but it is a rescue. So you might want to think a little bit more about that. How do we respond when we're in a pit, in a difficult place? Does it feel like God is holding us? Now, sometimes being in a pit is because we have done something wrong, but it's not always. Sometimes we can be in a really difficult place through no fault of our own, just because of circumstances. St. Philip's, as a church family, have had 2 really big bereavements in the last week with Ed Jenkins and Hilary Jolly's death. And that can make an awful lot of us feel in a really difficult place. We've also had so many other individual bereavements going on this year. We can feel in a really difficult place. How do we feel that God is with us in that? It might be something that you would like to spend some time this morning reflecting on. What does it feel like to be held by God? Do you feel like you're being held by God in a difficult place? You'll notice that on the tables in front of you, if you're by a table, there are some pieces of paper that have the poem Footprints in the Sand written on it, which I think a lot of you might have come across. It's a very famous poem about walking along with God. If you haven't read it, I'm not going to ruin the end for you, but feel free to read it. You might want to read that and think about how God holds us in difficult times. It might be times that we brought on ourselves, or it might be times that we are thrust into. How does God hold us in that? So that's the second way you might want to respond. You might want to look at the Footprints poem and think about how God holds us. And lastly, it's a traditional Anglican sermon. We have to have 3 points. So the third thing that I wanted us to notice from Jonah is how we actually respond when God speaks to us, especially if it's not what we want to hear. Last week, I was talking about what it means to listen to God and how we hear from God. And it's really important that we do take time to listen. But what if we hear something that we don't really want to hear and we don't want to act on? Jonah, in the very beginning, heard God say, "Go to Nineveh and speak to the people of Nineveh and tell them to change their ways." And Jonah said, "No," and went off in the opposite direction. Now, it might be that Jonah was genuinely terrified for his life. If God said to me tomorrow, "Ruth, go to the inner city of London and speak to the gangs there and tell them to change their ways and turn to God," I would be terrified. I genuinely would be too scared to do that. I'm sure God would equip me, but I would be scared. I can understand how Jonah ran in the opposite direction. Nineveh was a scary place. But maybe it wasn't just that he was scared for his life. Maybe there was part of Jonah that didn't really want God to forgive people in Nineveh. Jonah understood that God was gracious, but he only really wanted it for people like him. He didn't really want God's grace for really bad people. He didn't fully understand the breadth of God's grace. And so therefore, he needed a little moment of being retaught by God, re-understanding the breadth of God's grace. So you may want to explore that a little bit more. And if you do, I would highly recommend reading chapter 4 of Jonah. It's a wonderful dialogue where you realize that Jonah just doesn't get what God is doing and doesn't like it. And you might want to talk with people on your table if you all read chapter 4. There's some questions on your table as well, which you might want to respond to about chapter 4, which go a lot deeper into our understanding of what God's grace is all about. Do we fully get it? Do we fully want everybody to accept it, to believe it, and to be accepted into God's loving family? And that's a real challenge for us. That is a moment of being challenged as how deep our faith goes. So those are three ways that you might like to respond to the story of Jonah and go a little bit deeper into it. Come and explore what sackcloth is like. Make some sackcloth coverings for yourself, animals, whatever. Or you might like to look at footprints and think how God holds us in difficult times. Or you might want to look at Jonah 4 and explore your understanding of God's grace. So we're going to have a moment now, a bit of time to just explore this together, chat with each other, and see if we can get a bit more out of Jonah.